Today's scripture is from John 1, 29 to 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus and looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Praise be God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, I had a student from the seminary come and ask if she could observe our session meeting. She's taking a course this term on Presbyterian polity, and she needed to observe a session meeting and write a paper on it. One thing that I noticed pretty early on in our session meeting was how quickly we all slipped into what I like to call church talk. Church talk is the shorthand that we use with one another because we assume that everyone knows what we're talking about. So for example, if you look in the bulletin, the last line under the announcement says, "Per capita for 2020 is 3479. Everybody knows what we're talking about when we say per capita, right? So the 3479 is the amount of money that we have to send to Presbytery every year per member that we have in the church. This money supports the ministry and mission of Presbytery that in turn supports us throughout the year. But I suspect that there are some among us that don't know what per capita is. And if they are members of our church, they may be a little bit too embarrassed or shy to ask what this is. When folks talk about per capita as though this were something that we all understood, and there are some of us who don't know what this is, people can feel dumb or like they're maybe not really a part of our community. Our session meeting on Sunday, when we had a student sitting in the corner with this befuddled look on her face for most of the meeting, reminded me of the danger of using church speak as though we all understand what we're talking about. I bring this up because you'll notice in our scripture passage for this morning, John the Baptist loves to use church talk, particularly around this idea of Jesus being the Lamb of God. What does he actually mean when he says this? My best guess is that John means to compare Jesus to the lamb sacrificed at Passover. In the Jewish tradition, Passover is the celebration of the night that the angel of death passed over Jewish homes that were marked with the blood of a lamb. These houses were marked with the blood of a lamb because lamb's blood is pure and precious and expensive. But while the lamb blood spared Jewish believers that night, human beings cannot overcome the power of death on our own. When John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, what he means is that Jesus is going to take care of the problem of death once and for all. But we aren't there yet. You'll notice that our scripture reading for this morning comes from the first chapter of John. John is, for lack of a better word, skipping ahead in the story. But he also forgot to tell us the beginning. You'll notice that unlike Matthew and Mark and Luke, there's no story of Jesus's birth in John. We have no idea where he comes from. But John also leaves out most of the middle part of the story. You know, the stories of Jesus teaching and preaching and healing the sick. So now that you have this context, you can kind of understand why the disciples are confused as to who this Jesus person is. So the next day, John the Baptist tries again. Look, he points, the Lamb of God, pointing at Jesus. The disciples decide to approach Jesus and start following him. Jesus notices this, and he says, "What are you guys doing?" And they ask, "Who are you?" But rather than tell the disciples who he is, Jesus says, "Come and see." So the disciples spend the day with Jesus. Remember, an ordinary day with Jesus involves preaching to thousands, getting food to people who don't have food, and healing people who are sick with diseases that can't otherwise be cured. Having spent the day with Jesus, having witnessed the transformative power of Jesus, the disciples believe. Andrew, one of the disciples, then goes and finds his brother Simon and says, "Hey, I need you to meet this person," and he brings him to Jesus. Simon eventually becomes the disciple known as Peter, one of Jesus's most trusted disciples, because of this encounter. What struck me as I reflected on this passage this week is the difference between being told about Jesus and having an encounter with Jesus. John the Baptist does a beautiful job of telling the disciples about Jesus. He gives them language to help them make sense of this mystery unfolding in front of them. He shows them how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. He testifies of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus. But it isn't until the disciples have an encounter with Jesus that they believe. It isn't until they spend the day with him, walking alongside him as he goes about his day, that they realize, ooh, Jesus here is the real deal. As the disciples lead others to Jesus, they can use John's beautiful words to help them describe who Jesus is. But these words are meant to draw others into an encounter with Jesus. They're not a substitute for meeting him themselves. This got me thinking, how can we create opportunities for people to encounter the living Jesus in our life together? One way I hope to do this is by recognizing and perhaps cutting down a little bit on the church talk. particularly around visitors and new members, but really around everyone. If someone doesn't know which book in the pew is the hymnal, show them. If somebody asks you where the bathroom is, don't just tell them, take them there. If we want people to encounter the living God in worship, then we all need to work together to remove the barriers that inhibit people from encountering God. Another way that I hope to help people encounter the living Jesus is by offering a Lenten book study. This year, we're going to go through the Celebration of Discipline. I promise I will have more information about this in our next newsletter. I'm hoping that we can journey through this book during Lent as we're preparing our hearts and our minds for Easter. I also hope that this will be a study that's accessible to everyone and that will have some practical implications in our lives. A final way that I hope to help people encounter Jesus is by creating opportunities for folks to serve the church in her ordered ministries. A few Sundays ago, we installed our new officers at Mount Nebo. This morning, we're going to ordain and install our new officers here at Glenshaw Valley. Just as the disciples encountered Jesus through his service to others, others will grow in their faith through our service to them. Also, trust me when I say, there is no better way to test your faith than to serve in one of the ordered ministries of our church. Because as you serve, you will learn to rely on God and not yourself in new and sometimes scary, but always exciting ways. Friends, as we prepare to go from this place, I hope we will all consider how we might encounter the living Jesus in the coming days and weeks and months leading up to Lent. And once we have seen Jesus, how we might believe. And having believed, how we might tell others of the light of Christ that has come into the world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.